The sky was heavy from the dust and ash that had been kicked into the air. Above the clouds, there was a layer that blocked out much of the sun and turned the moon blood red. Every night was ablaze with the aurora borealis, sheets of green and blue that, for the first time in history, reached as far south as the tropics. Outside the cemetery gates, there were a few people walking, even a man on a horse, but no operating motor vehicles could be seen anywhere. The roads were littered with cars, buses, and trucks that had not moved since the moment of the event, all of them remaining where they had rolled to a stop, their metal carcasses cluttering both sides of the streets. In the skies above the cemetery, no aircraft could be seen descending toward Reagan National Airport. Indeed, all across the nation, there was no air traffic at all. And that was not the only modernity that was no more. Postal service, banks, electricity, communications, refrigeration, modern travel. The list of things that had disappeared was very long. In the median that separated the highway, a desperate group of people who now called themselves a tribe was working the ground with a plow that had been improvised from a sheet of metal and a piece of rope. Two men pulled while another man guided the makeshift device. It was slow and painful work, and barely suitable, for the plow barely turned the earth. But they were desperate to till the ground in any way they could. If they didn't plow, they couldn't plant the few seeds they had been given by their benefactor, a foreign government. If they didn't plant, they didn't harvest. And if they didn't harvest, they didn't eat. The world was back to the 1880s. It was not a good place to be. The six-man color guard waited by the grave. Their uniforms were so crisp they almost cracked as the men moved. Their polished boots reflected the gray light from the sky. The sergeant in charge stood in front of his men, giving them one final inspection before the mourners appeared. "Gigline," he hissed to a junior non-commissioned officer. He glanced at his chest and aligned the buttons on his shirt with the zipper cover on his pants. "Cover," the sergeant whispered as he moved down the line. A young corporal adjusted his headgear, pulling it down uncomfortably over his eyes. Satisfied, the sergeant moved to the end of the line, put himself into position, then glanced at his watch. It was 2:56 p.m. The service was scheduled to begin at 3 p.m. It would begin exactly on time, of course. Perfection was the standard when it came to paying respect to their dead. The sergeant heard the soft clip-clop of hooves coming up the narrow strip of asphalt that wound through the National Cemetery. Glancing to his right, he saw a single mare, old but proud, her dark mane perfectly curried and braided to the right. She emerged from around a tight bend in the road, drawing a small carriage behind her. Black and shiny, with wooden wheels and a leather harness, the carriage carried a single bronze casket on its sideless bed. Seeing the casket, the sergeant took a deep breath and straightened himself. "Ten hut!" he whispered, powerful from deep in his chest. His soldiers drew themselves straight, their shoulders square, their chins tight, their hands fists. They looked straight ahead, their faces without expression as they stared at some unknown object on the distant horizon. As the funeral procession approached, the sergeant placed his right foot exactly behind his left foot, his right toe pointing down, barely touching his left heel, and turned right with perfect mechanical precision. He faced the approaching wagon, staring at the metal casket so as to never make eye contact with the mourners who followed. The dark horse walked with high steps, her flanks glistening with sweat. As the wagon drew close, the sergeant felt his heart quicken. This one was special, and he wanted the funeral ceremony done right. The wagon passed by a huge oak tree, and he caught a better glimpse of the casket, a dark bronze box draped in an American flag. Atop the flag, an enormous ring of flowers, freshly cut and beautifully arranged, had been placed over the center of the casket. 24 roses, 12 red, and 12 white. White roses for virtue,